Blog Talk Radio.
Now, this is done by those who were guilty of all those things that you just, the counterpart of all those things you just mentioned, the white people who were guilty of white supremacy, try and hide their own guilt by accusing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad of teaching black supremacy when he tries to uplift the mentality, the social, mental, economic condition of black people in this country. And Jews who have been guilty of exploiting the black people in this country economically, civically, and otherwise hide their guilt by accusing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad of teaching, of being anti-Semitic simply because he teaches our people to go into business for ourselves and try and take over the economic leadership in our own community. And this other thing, white supremacy, anti-Semitism, and what was the other?
And hatred.
And hatred. And since the white people collectively have practiced the worst form of hatred against Negroes in this country, and they know that they are guilty of it, now when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad comes along and begins to list the historic deed, the historic attitude, the historic behavior of the white man in this country toward the black people in this country, again, the white people are so guilty that they can't stop doing these things to make Mr. Muhammad appear wrong, so they hide their wrong by saying that he is teaching hatred. History is not hatred. Actually, we are Muslims because we believe in the religion of Islam. We believe in one God. We believe in Muhammad as the apostle of God. We practice the principles of the religion of Islam, which mean prayer, charity, fasting, brotherhood. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that since the Western society is deteriorating, it has become overrun with immorality, that God is going to judge it and destroy it. And the only way black people who are in this society can be saved is to not integrate into this corrupt society, but separate ourselves from it, reform ourselves, lift up our moral standards, and try and be godly instead of trying to integrate with God instead of trying to integrate with the white man, or try and imitate God instead of trying to imitate with, the white man.
It has been suggested also that this movement preaches a gospel of violence.
No, the black people in this country have been the victims of violence at the hands of the white man for 400 years. And following the ignorant Negro preachers, we have thought that it was godlike to turn the other cheek to the brute that was brutalizing us. And today, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is showing black people in this country that just as the white man and every other person on this earth has God-given rights, natural rights, civil rights, any kind of rights that you can think of when it comes to defending himself, black people should have the right to defend ourselves also. And because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad makes black people brave enough, men enough, to defend ourselves no matter what the odds are, the white man runs around here with the doctrine that Mr. Muhammad is advocating violence when he's actually telling Negroes to defend themselves against violent people.
I see. Well, Reverend Martin Luther King preaches a doctrine of nonviolent insistence upon the rights of the American Negro. What is your attitude toward this philosophy?
The white man pays Reverend Martin Luther King, subsidizes Reverend Martin Luther King, so that Reverend Martin Luther King can continue to teach the Negroes to be defenseless. That's what you mean by nonviolent. Be defenseless. Be defenseless in the face of one of the most cruel beasts that has ever taken the people into captivity. That's this American white man. And they have proved it throughout the country by the police dogs and the police clubs. 100 years ago, they used to put on a white sheet and use a bloodhound against Negroes. Today, they have taken off the white sheet and put on police uniforms. They've traded in the bloodhounds for police dogs, and they're still doing the same thing. And just as Uncle Tom, back during slavery, used to keep the Negroes from resisting the bloodhound or resisting the Ku Klux Klan by teaching them to love their enemy or pray for those who use them despitefully, today Martin Luther King is just a 20th century or modern Uncle Tom or a religious Uncle Tom who is doing the same thing today to keep Negroes defenseless in the face of attack that Uncle Tom did on the plantation to keep those Negroes defenseless in the face of the attacks of the Klan in that day.
But the goal of Dr. King is full equality and full rights of citizenship for Negroes.
The goal of Dr. Martin Luther King is to give Negroes a chance to sit in a segregated restaurant beside the same white man who has brutalized them for 400 years. The goal of Dr. Martin Luther King is to get Negroes to forgive the people who have brutalized them for 400 years by by lulling them to sleep and making them forgetting what those whites have done to them. But the masses of black people in America today don't go for what Martin Luther King is putting down. As you said in one of your articles, it's psychologically insecure, something of that sort. I forget how you put it. But you didn't endorse what Martin Luther King was doing yourself.
I do not reject his goals of full integration and full equality rights for American citizens. Do you reject these
goals?
If
you don't think that he's walking on the right road, I'm quite sure you don't agree that he'll get to the right place. And if you would classify his method as psychologically unrealistic, I think that if a man's method is psychologically unrealistic, which means the road or the means or the method that he's using, I think as a psychologist, you would be very doubtful that he would reach the right goal.
There is one correction, Mr. Malcolm, I'd like to make here. In that same piece that you're quoting from, I said that his methods are effective. His philosophy of love of the oppressor, I thought, was psychologically burdensome. But I would be more interested in your goals. What are the goals of the movement which you represent so effectively?
Just as you said in the same article, Mr. Muhammad is trying to get us on God's side so God will be on our side and help us to fight our battles against a very vicious, deceitful, hypocritical enemy. And this is why Mr. Muhammad put so much stress upon moral reformation, that when Negroes stop getting drunk, when Negroes stop fornicating and committing adultery, when Negroes stop being addicted to drugs and these things that destroy the moral fiber and the morale of the Negro, then our people will be able to get together and unite in harmony and unity and get our own problem solved.
Toward what end would you want our people united? What would you
Toward see? Being on God's side. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that God now is about to establish a kingdom on this earth based upon brotherhood and peace. And the white man is against brotherhood, and the white man is against peace. His history on this earth has proved that. Nowhere in history has he been brotherly toward anyone. The only time he's brotherly toward you is when he can use you, when he can exploit you, when he can oppress you, when you will submit to him. And since his own history makes him unqualified to be an inhabitant or a citizen in a kingdom of brotherhood, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that God is about to eliminate that particular race from this earth. So since they are due for elimination, we don't want to be with them. We're not trying to integrate with that which we know has come to the end of its rope. We're trying to separate from it and get with something that's more lasting, and we think that God is more lasting than the white man.
So in effect, Minister Malcolm, your movement does not share the integration goals of the NAACP, CORE, Martin Luther King's movement, and the student nonviolent movement.
You don't integrate with a sinking ship. You don't do anything to further your stay aboard a ship that you see is on its way down to the bottom of the ocean. Moses tried to separate his people from Pharaoh, and when he tried, the magicians tried to fool the people into staying with Pharaoh. And we look upon these other organizations that are trying to get Negroes to integrate with this doomed white man as nothing but modern-day magicians, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as the modern-day Moses who's trying to separate us from the modern-day Pharaoh.
Well, do you feel that the Negroes who are attempting to influence the policies and actions of our federal government, the Attorney General, the President of the United States,
James Baldwin recently had a conference with Robert Kennedy, he took Lena Horne, who's married to a white man, Lorraine Hansberry, who's married to a white man, Belafonte, who's married to a white woman, Edwin Berry of the Urban League, who's married to a white woman. Now, and whenever you have a group of black people sitting down with a white man supposed to represent the black masses, you can never get anybody who's involved in any intermarriage in any kind of situation who will be qualified to represent themselves as spokesman for the black masses in this country. They were representing their own personal desires. They want to mix and mingle so that they can take their wife. They can go any of these places with their wife. They're involved in a mixed marriage. But you can't find masses, sir, of black people who will accept any black man who's married to a white man as a spokesman for black people, or a black woman who's married to a white man as a spokesman or a representative of what black people feel and think.
What do you feel the Negro should do in respect to obtaining even more effective protection from our federal government?
You never will get protection from the federal government. That's like King is asking Kennedy to go to Alabama and stand in the doorway, put his body in the doorway. That's like asking the fox to protect you from the wolf. And now the masses of black people can see this, and it is only the Negro leadership, the bourgeois, handpicked, handful of Negroes who think that they're going to get some kind of respect, recognition, or protection from the government. The government is responsible for what is happening to black people in this country. The president has power. You notice he didn't send any troops into Birmingham to protect the Negroes when the dogs were biting the Negroes. The only time he sent troops into Birmingham was when the Negroes erupted. And then the president sent troops in there not to protect the Negroes, to protect them white people down there from those erupting Negroes.
Well, are not Negro Americans citizens?
If they were citizens, you wouldn't have a race problem. If the Emancipation Proclamation was authentic, you wouldn't have a race problem. If the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment to the Constitution was authentic, you wouldn't have a race problem. If the Supreme Court desegregation decision was authentic, you wouldn't have a race problem. All of this is hypocrisy. And it is this hypocrisy that has been practiced by the so-called white, so-called liberal for the past 400 years that compounds the problem, makes it more complicated instead of eliminating the problem.
Well, Minister Malcolm, what do you see as the future of the Negro in America? What do you think will be the culmination of the present thrust?
Until the white man in America sits down and talks with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he won't even know what the race problem what makes the race problem what it is. And it's just like Pharaoh couldn't get a solution to his problem until he talked to Moses, or Nebuchadnezzar or Belshazzar couldn't get a solution to his problem until he talked to Daniel, the white man in America today will never understand the race problem or come anywhere near getting a solution to the race problem until he talks to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Then Mr. Muhammad will give him God's analysis, not some kind of political analysis or psychologist analysis or some kind of clergyman's analysis, but God's analysis. That's the analysis that Moses gave Pharaoh. That's the analysis that Daniel gave Belshazzar. And today we have a modern Belshazzar and a modern Pharaoh sitting in Washington, D.C.
What do you think is going to happen in Birmingham, in Jackson, Mississippi, in Philadelphia, in Boston, in Englewood?
Well, Dr. Clark, as you know, these Negro leaders have been telling the white man everything is all right, everything's under control. And they've been telling the white man that Mr. Muhammad is wrong, don't listen to him. But everything that Mr. Muhammad has been saying is going to come to pass, is now coming to pass. And now the Negro leaders are standing up saying that we're about to have a racial explosion. You're going to have a racial explosion. And a racial explosion is more dangerous than an atomic explosion. It's going to explode because black people are dissatisfied. They're dissatisfied not only with the white man, but they're dissatisfied with these Negroes who have been sitting around here posing as leaders and spokesmen for black people and actually making the problem worse instead of making the problem better.
What will be the consequence of this explosion?
Anytime you put too many sparks around a powder keg, the thing is going to explode. And if the thing that explodes is still inside the house, then the house will be destroyed.
But what will happen?
So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is telling the white man, get this powder keg out of your house. Let the black people in this country separate from you while there's still time. And if the black man is allowed to separate and go on onto some land of his own where he can solve his own problems, then there won't be any explosion. And the Negroes who want to stay with the white man, let them stay with the white man. But those who want to leave, let them go with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
As I understand your position, Minister Malcolm, the only thing that can save us from a catastrophic explosion is complete separation.
Complete separation is the only solution to the black and white problem in this country.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello, are you there, John?
I'm here, brother.
Okay, great. I guess we are unmuted, so we could go ahead and start the show. I think the first thing that we would like to go ahead and do is let's go ahead and play a little bit of our theme music right quick so people can go ahead and get into the mood of some of the topics we're going to be talking about.
No judgment is for me. It's up against police. Every time I turn around and shoot another brother down in these cold, cold streets.
Hey, 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 it's us live once again. Greg Giles and John Drummond. We're here with Real Talk with New Order, live here on Knowledge Airwaves, giving the people what they want. want to hear, giving them an update on what's going on around the world. How you doing today, John?
I am blessed and highly favored, my brother, Greg Giles, and peace and blessing to Brother Knowledge. How are you today, my brother?
I'm good. How's everybody doing?
Blessed, my brother.
We're great. We got a lot of great topics to talk about today. We actually also have a guest speaker, Mr. Joe Johnson, that's going to be issue that he has going on that we would like to actually listen to. But right now we want to go ahead and let the people know exactly who we are. We're New Order, human rights activist group. We are worldwide. We help people around the country with different issues and different situations. We'd like people to actually, you know, if they have situations that they think that we can help them with, don't hesitate to give us a call. You know, our 1-800 number is 1-800-346-5138. That's 1-800-346-5138. And you can also check us out at www.nonhro.org. And we're going to go ahead and tell everybody right now, please share this show with people and let people know that we do have this show on every third Tuesday of the month. So even after today, we'll still be available every third Tuesday of the month. And we got a lot of great topics to talk about today, John. You know, how you feeling up there in Ohio?
Ohio, man, it's a rainy Seattle-like existence up here, man. It's been raining all weekend. It's forecasted to continue to rain, so we're a little in a flood watch and tornado watch. You know, this is tornado season up this way, but you know, we're maintaining because you know we're used to it. Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, great. Do we have Joe on the line? Joe, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, Joe. What I want to do, we have Joe Johnson on the line. You know, further, you know, Joe Johnson has a situation that he wants to actually let the people know about. So we want to go ahead and get him in first before we get into our other regular topics that we're going to talk about today. Joe, how you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing, fellas?
Hey, man, highly blessed and highly favored, man, as always. No, well, what's on your mind today, Joe, that you want to let us know about and let the people know about so that we can actually try to get some justice for that situation?
Okay, well, you know, I'm from the state of Ohio, so, you know, I was currently a corrections officer, and during this COVID-19 situation, a number of our residents or slash inmates tested positive. And one of them I happened to have close contact with and exposure. So once I knew that, the director of the facility said to us that basically was false. He was saying that if we were exposed to it, it didn't show any symptoms for 72 hours, we were immune. So what I did was I called my doctor, and my doctor told me to go and be on 14-day quarantine. So she sent a letter. Okay, so once that happened, I was confronted by the director, deputy director, and also supervisor asking me why was I leaving. I didn't look like I had any symptoms. And then he proceeded to call me irresponsible and also told me that he wasn't going to pay me. So to make a long story short, when I came back, I was given a letter saying that I would be suspended for 30 days because of my attendance. I never had any problem with my attendance. So I felt as though that was retaliation.
It definitely sounds like it. It definitely sounds like it. But the thing is, there's still some issues right now with the COVID-19. So it seemed like they should have been more sympathetic about not even if you actually had the virus to be around other people that could actually get it. I that's a no-brainer to me to actually let you go for a couple of weeks, you know, especially if you already have to tell them that, hey, you know, this works, you know.
And I also explained to him about being asymptomatic and not showing any symptoms. So, you know, I was also concerned about my family, and I explained that to him. The thing that he said to me was that you're an essential worker. You should have known what you signed up for. And I responded and said, I didn't sign up to die. And no one had anything in policy and procedure about a pandemic. So he became a little upset because, you know, he was expecting me to tuck tail. But I was telling him that I had to go home. So when I informed him that I was going home and they received the doctor's note, he put in briefing that I basically walked off without, you know, informing anyone. So he made it look as though that I was rebellious and walked out without giving, you know, anyone any notice. So and then after that, giving him a second note from my doctor because they claimed that they needed more clarity or clarification on why I was sent. She explained to them the CDC rules, and then they just threw out the two notes from the doctor saying that they were not going to even use that, and they still proceeded to suspend me for 30 days.
That's what I was going to also mention, Brother Johnson. You know, we spoke initially when you came to New Order, if you can recall, and definitely the CDC's recommendation is definitely, and your doctor was simply following the recommendation of the CDC, which is if you interact or come into contact with anyone affected with the virus, is that you yourself quarantine yourself for 14 days. And put out this mandate, but like you said, Brother Johnson, this has never been experienced ever in our nation since our lifetime. Back in 1918, they had the Spanish flu, which is about the closest thing. So there's nothing in any of their rule books. There's nothing in anything that mandates that, you know, you have to follow any type of just made on the spot guidelines from them, because that's exactly what they would be doing, because there's never been a pandemic like this before.
Yes, sir. And even looking at that, you know, there are some that are there that he allowed to go in quarantine, no problem. But it's like I said before, it feels as though that he gives people preferential treatment. And that's because, you know, they do what he says, or they don't, you know, what he calls talk back. But like I said before in our discussion, Brother Drummond, it was that when you stand up for yourself, they always try to make black men look as though that we're rebellious, aggressive, or violent. But like I told him, if no one has a voice for me, I have to be my own voice, because I want to live to be able to stay with my wife and also be around my grandson. So when I gave him those notes, he looked at me as though I was basically not only deceiving him, but also doing something that was wrong. And when I tried to do what was right, he made others try to look at me as though I was just a rebellious Negro.
Wow. What is
the status of your situation right at this time, Brother Johnson? Have you been able to go back to work? Have you been able to get any information? Go ahead.
What I did was when I came back, I tried to work with the union, and like I always say to people, the union not always they don't always work with you; they'll work for them. Because, you know, we're in a place now to where they're negotiating contracts. So once I was explaining to the president, who's in Columbus, about the situation, he does this thing where he passes the buck, because we were scheduled for a hearing and he did not come, you know. And then we were scheduled for another hearing. He said that he couldn't come. you know, and that let me know that he didn't have any interest. So later on, as time went on, you know, another resident had became real ill. Like he was very pale in the face, and he threw up blood. So when he threw up blood, he was sweating, shivering, and I said to myself, if I continue to stay around this, I will have it. So I chose to move away and resign because I'm not going to sit in a place of people who do not care about their workers nor the residents that's in that place. So I could do better in outside of it than being in that place.
Well, I applaud your courage and your determination, brother. Definitely your case, and I'm sure countless cases across these United States will be the blueprint moving forward for institutions, hospitals, nursing homes, jails, and all type of facilities that you know have these environments. You know, they see the numbers. When they see the numbers rise, but they want their essential workers to put themselves in the line of fire, like you said, sir. Going to work is not a death sentence. So hopefully, you know, we can put our heads together as human rights organizations, as a former employee. That I'm sure, you know, this will not stop here today with your fight. And any efforts that New Order National Human Rights Organization can do to support you in your fight, we definitely have your back. This won't stop here. This is going to move on. And like I said, this is a blueprint. Let everyone that's listening and everyone within the sound of our voice know that something has to be done about this. Shouldn't have to go to work and be worried what they're bringing home to their family or what they're bringing home for themselves in a life-threatening situation when that it doesn't even have to be the case. So I applaud you, Brother Johnson.
Thank you so much. I
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Because
if I can
definitely
ask something
a tough
real
situation
quick,
to be in.
Can y'all hear me?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to
go
ask
ahead.
Something real quick. Coming from a military background, I was in the military for about 17 years. You know, these are situations that come into play with subordination. Now, if this was a situation, use the language, Brother Johnson, of preferential treatment, you know, that's right
yeah.
online with subordination. You see what I'm saying? So this is what it is. This is, you know, I command you obey type of situation. That's not to your situation. Your situation comes in that, but it's further in there. You see what I'm saying? Because you identified as someone who you may have direct contact with who believes you shouldn't be on this job in the first place. You should be behind bars with the people. You understand? And now that kind
yes,
of situation
sir.
In
yeah.
regards to where it comes into of identification of where you stand. And then you know, that whole situation about let's get our story straight together so it looks like him versus us, that's like day to day. You understand what I'm saying? That's like day to day. So, you know, if they could make you look derelict, if they could make you look negligent, and then they have cooperation, that's exactly how it goes. And the difference between the union and the people that are on active duty, it's just they go from, you know, active duty to retired. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
they look for those kinds of
yeah.
people who go along with that whole situation. You know, it's no different than the fraternity of police or whatever. They have this whole situation to where it looks like you have an advocate, something that
right.
you pay into,
right.
something
right.
that you pay your dues into, and blah, 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 and they're supposed to negotiate this for you or that, or advocate for you on your behalf. The game is rigged, you know? The game is
yeah.
big.
And one of the things that I wanted to add was one of my correction officers, the guy that was with me that when we picked him up, he has it now. He has the coronavirus.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So So here it is. I'm explaining to them why I needed to go. And as I came back, when I came back from being off a 14-day quarantine, four of the officers there contracted the virus. Five of them left because they felt sick but haven't gotten tested. So you see what I'm saying? And so they were more angry with me because they felt like I was setting a precedent. You know what I'm saying? They felt like if he does it, everyone else is going to do it. So they were more concerned about keeping the residents in their seats or in their bunks so that way they could continue to get paid, but they were not really concerned about our health. And then they were also told, the workers were also told, that if you do have it and you don't show any symptoms, you're still going to work. And if you don't work, you will be disciplined.
Wow.
Sounds like
a whole lot of control.
Sounds like the administration you're dealing with right now. Everything you do.
It really does.
Yes,
it really does.
Yeah. Yep. And one of the things that hurts me is when you bring up to, you know, other people at work saying, man, we have to do something about this, it's always a fear factor. You know what I'm saying? You've
right.
heard of buck
right.
busting. You know what buck busting is, where they take one of the strongest men and then humiliate him in front of everyone else to set a standard that if you do what Joe did, you're going to suffer the same consequence. So this is what they were trying to do.
Exactly.
You know, but a lot of people there knew me. So here we are now. They're saying I left without permission, and then when I gave my resignation, I'm not allowed on the premises. You see what I'm saying? As though I'm the criminal.
Wow.
But then once, so now when they found out that my associate or my coworker contracted it and he became very sick, they became very quiet. So that's when they started talking to the representatives in Columbus, and they were calling me and asking me, hey, we heard that you had some people talk to you, like you had some legal counsel. And I was like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, they'll get someone that's close to you or they feel like they're close, and they continue to ask you questions to see where you're going, and then they'll run back and tell master.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly. They're trying to cover their own butts. That's
unions,
what they're doing.
Yeah, a lot of unions are like public defenders, man.
Yeah. And so that's why I said to myself, I refuse to be in a place that does not care about my well-being, let alone the others. Because not only are the officers and people that are there are getting sick that work there, you have residents that are getting sick, and they're afraid because every time they go, they say, we can't take you to the hospital. You could be throwing up. They don't care. You could be sweating. They don't care because they always get this one
question.
Hey, if you don't have a fever, we're not taking you. You know what I'm saying? And as we look on television, all of the governors, no matter where we're at, are telling us that there are new symptoms. Every time we come around about this virus, there are new symptoms. Now there's new symptoms for even our children. You see what I'm saying? Now we have an intestinal problems. But here's the thing. They want to consistently say to us, you can't take that resident to the hospital because he doesn't have a fever, but he has all the other symptoms. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So here we are now.
Yeah.
So here we are now. Everyone is afraid. You know what I'm saying? Everyone is afraid to speak. Everyone is afraid to say something, not only because they might lose their job, but here it is now. We're in a correctional facility. So if someone speaks up, he can get written up, and they will cancel his program, and they'll send him back to where the person that comes for 60, 90, or 120 days, he'll have some years hanging over his head if he doesn't complete the program. You see what I'm saying? So they're basically telling him to shut up before we cut your program and terminate you, and you'll spend 4 years. You see what I'm saying? So no one wants to speak because everyone is afraid. That's too much power.
Yeah.
And that's what actually cuts down a lot of the justice that could be done, because the people are afraid of the repercussions that might happen to them if they speak up or actually go against the grain or go against what their superiors are saying or doing. Because a lot of times it starts from the head. You know, if the head of the organization or the partner that you're in is doing that, of course it's going to lead down to the bottom. You know, from the other sergeants and down to the officers, and the officers are going to get the worst portion of it, because they have to fall in line. And if they don't fall in line, guess what? You get reprimanded.
Yeah. Yep. And this is another thing that we say. This administration here, they change rules like at a drop of a hat. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
If they want to do something to you, they'll change the rule. You know, that's
exactly
that's where a lot of people
their purpose.
Yeah. Because
I also want to remind the listeners out there that if they want to comment on anything that we're talking about, please press the 1. You can press the 1 to be put into the queue so we can actually hear your comments or your thoughts on this situation. Go ahead, sir.
And please share the program, ladies and gentlemen of the listening audience. Share the program. Please go on our Facebook page and share the information you see there. Go to our website, www.nonhro.org. Take a look and see what it is our organization has done for over the last 20 years out here as a grassroots organization, being the forefront of change, making sure that justice is served, doing what we can to demand the right. Like Mr. Johnson, be acknowledged and known and heard. I'm glad he's having the opportunity tonight to tell his story. New Order National Human Rights Organization, we are the voice of the voiceless, and hopefully we're getting his message across tonight.
Definitely. We definitely appreciate you coming on telling the story, so that people that are dealing with other similar situations will know how to actually handle that or let you be a motivation so they're not going through this all alone. We appreciate that, your story, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you so much. Yes. Thank you guys for allowing me to please talk about it. Yeah.
Not a problem. That's what we're here for. We want to hear what's going on. Topics that we can discuss with other people. We definitely have to see what's going on. One of the next topics that we want to go ahead and discuss is that of a young man, 22, Mr. Dewan Jones. According to the points, registered Jones was allegedly choked, punched, kicked, and stomped by 3 white males who also Rachel Smothers. Following her scream, found him on the ground badly bruised. Jones was transported to the hospital, where he reportedly was treated for broken facial bones and bruises. His injuries were not life threatening, but still, so this is something that had just happened years ago. This just happened a week ago. This thing has happened. This is running rapid in our communities. So we definitely want to keep everybody in tune of what's going on and how to properly, report these issues and don't be scared to speak out. Did you actually hear about that story, John?
Yes, you were going in and out, but I believe you're talking about the Moline, Iowa case. Mr. Dequan Jones, where the white assailants beat him up. That's the case you're speaking of? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
A horrible event. And what angers me more than anything, because, I just know that you have quite a few other cases to speak of tonight, but what angers me is that, oftentimes we don't hear about these situations. The only time we hear about these situations is when it becomes, newsworthy. And that's why I don't watch news anymore. I'm sorry. I know I'm supposed to keep my ear on the streets as far as news is concerned, but no, I'd rather get it, you know what I'm saying, by word of mouth, man. I don't get a kick out of watching the news because it's so spun these days. And with the cases that have been put across the media lately, this happens every single day in America to a black man and to a black woman. But you will never hear about these cases until one becomes prevalent in the news media. And then all of a sudden you hear about all these cases all over the United States of America. And then you start to think, oh, it's a manhunt for the black man and the black woman. It's been a manhunt for the black man and the black woman for generations. Such an unfortunate event. These men must be identified. If you within the listening audience, or anybody you know in the Des Moines, Iowa area, please, you know, let's do all we can to make sure these men face and come to justice.
Okay, and on to the next issue that we want to discuss. There was new body cam footage that shows a controversial arrest of Miss Aaliyah Lewis on April the 10th, which was a couple of last month. A video of Urbana police officers surfaced on social media showing officers using what appears to be excessive force. Within 2 days of the video being released, tens of thousands of views and thousands of comments by concerned citizens around 4:30 on April 10th. The Urbana police officers responded and to a report of a man and a woman arguing outside an apartment in East Colorado Avenue. The man was named Mr. Camarion Busby, allegedly fired a gun, and Busby was arrested and taken into custody without incident, but the young lady was assaulted by the officers and arrested. So there's a lot of stuff going on. That's just another issue that was going on. You know, they didn't contest that, you know, what was going on, but just the way that they handled a female was a big issue.
And once again, Greg, it's like we've been saying. It's like what is the very popular saying that's going on in social media right now about the Aubrey case. I know you're going to bring the Aubrey case into the conversation in a minute, but like they said, like it's not that the video, you know, was reason for them to make any type of judicial decision or police decision. It was the fact that we, as a community, as a people, as a nation, as social media, we seen it. That's what made it go in the way that it went. Had we have not seen that video, I don't believe we would have even heard of this case. You know, just
exactly,
like
the
sister you're speaking of, Miss Aaliyah and Mr. Busby. We wouldn't have hear about these cases. You know, like I said, now it's newsworthy. All black people are getting, you know, assaulted, and black people get, yes, we are, and yes, we have been, and yes, we will continue. It's time for us to you know, put a stop to all of it, definitely. You know,
yes.
Greg, you've seen, and trust me, we're a Christian organization, so I don't want you to think for 1 minute, listening audience, that I am trying to promote any type of violence. I'm a pacifist. I don't believe in any violence, but at the same time, enough is enough. You have people, like you said, you know what I'm saying, a simple altercation that was calmed down, and the man relinquished himself to the authorities. What reason was it to assault this woman in the way in which they assaulted her? It just doesn't make any sense. And at some point, you know, when you're living in the information age and you're living in a time where we all see this, we all see what's happening, then a stop has to come. And I feel it. I know, Greg, you feel it. I know Brother Knowledge feels it, and our listening audience feels it. It's coming to a head. And
yes, it is.
It's just saddening.
Yeah, and I know that, like I said, we're going to want to get into what's going on with Mr. Ahmaud Arbery, because our leader, Mr. Joe Rose, went down there to Brunswick, Georgia, to actually support the rally that went on this weekend with Rashad Ritchie and some other people that wanted to go out and support the cause and stuff. Like you said, even with that situation with Mr. Arbery, it wasn't until the video was surfaced that they actually decided to place those people that actually committed murder in handcuffs. And like they do with all the other situations, they want to bring up Mr. Arbery's past opposed to who the people who actually shot him and killed him past. You know, they want to criminalize him while, you know, letting the other people, you know, go free, because it's been months before they were even arrested. And then to come to find out that the DA of Glynn County was supporting them, keeping them out of jail. I guess, you know, I don't know if it's the good old boy system, but if, you know, they just happen to be friends. But I hear that the guy who actually shot him was a former policeman.
Yes, he was. And you best believe, I lived in Beaufort, South Carolina, which isn't that very far from Brunswick, Georgia. You believe in all earnesty that it is a good old boy system down there, definitely. Man, it's like you said, Greg. I mean, like I said, once again, the media. Of course, that's what they do with our young black men. They want to criminalize the victim. You know, don't go back in this man's past to where he may have had some interactions with that has nothing to do with this man peacefully walking down a neighborhood street and someone accosting him with weapons in their hand and ultimately killing him. What does that have to do? What does one have to do with the other? Did these men following him, they knew, oh, that's Mr. Arbery. No, they didn't know this man. They just took it upon themselves to follow this man with whatever preconceived hateful notion that they may have had once they approached them, both wielding guns. You know, guns, last time I checked, are used to kill people. So,
they weren't planning on just stopping him and asking questions. They were planning on doing some bodily harm to him, and that's what they did, because they didn't try to talk to him. They tried to stop him and, you know, and grab him and shoot him. There was nothing said to him.
No, sir. And I know, you know what, and in the past I may have felt a certain way about seeing, you know, this media that on this video that they're putting out now of, you know, like I said, Mr. Arbery's past and his interactions. And like I told a couple of people on a couple of posts, I said, to me, it looked like the man was minding his own business, same as when he was jogging down the street and the police walked up to him in this old video. I still saw no malice on his part. So, you know, that didn't really help anyone's case. But I know we are an awakened, conscious people in 2020. We're not falling for that mess anymore anyway. So it doesn't matter. You know, they have to face the music, and the music is playing right now nationwide. So you know, they can make up their minds about how long they're going to, you know, prolong this and put out this and, oh, he was here and he was there. Yeah, but at the time of which that man got killed, he was running down the street, minding his own business.
Yeah, and then it backfired on them because they said that he was robbing the place, or he was going into the place in which he walked into that unfinished home and looked around and walked back out. And then they said because they said somebody had been stealing stuff from that property, but come to find out that other people that same day was going in and out of that house. But just because Mr. Arbery was, you know, an African-American man, they took it upon themselves to follow and harass and kill this man, you know. So, I mean, you know, in their defense, you know, they don't have one.
Right. Greg, I have many friends that are in the real estate business, and oftentimes I venture with them out to properties that they're looking into, houses they may want to flip, you know, residential homes, businesses, and the like. They may have the keys to these properties. They may not, but they know of these addresses. And when we go to them, if that is the reason for why they took that man's life, then I would be dead time and time over again. If I could think, I can count on my hand the many times I've went to places just like that, houses in the midst of construction, places where the door were open and I just walked in just to take a look around and see, oh, this is a nice place. You know what I'm saying? Let me tell my investment friends about this place.
Yeah, I think we all do that. I don't know one person that haven't done that.
Exactly. So if they're using that for a reason, that's a very idiotic and you know, poor reason.
Exactly.
Fact of the matter remains is that these men had intent. They want to bring stuff out, bring the fact out that was just a 30-second video that we watched, and the actual video where they followed this man for a matter of 4 minutes. What were their intentions? Wielding guns.
Guns.
And
exactly.
And them being you know, ready to fire. They, you know, they weren't empty weapons. They had bullets in them. So what were they going to do with the purpose of having bullets out of the weapon? What was that mindset? Let's talk about that. Let's do their history. Let's go back on their history.
Exactly. And then the picture that surfaced of the gentleman with the Klan, with the Confederate flag, and you know, and so I mean, you know, with somebody with that mindset, you know, that shows me what their intent was. You know, he didn't mean Mr. Arbery no good at all. You know, so you know, I mean, like I said, all of the truth will prevail, and it has prevailed. And you know, I hope that they go ahead and lock these men up for a long, long time, and let this be an example for anybody else that does this, or to any of our young men or women that's out there on the street that are, you know, that are unarmed, which is, you know, just about a lot of people that, you know, are out there that are victims of, you know, brutality that wasn't expecting it.
Definitely. And
Mr.
once
Knowledge,
again, a shout out to our CEO real quickly, Greg, once again, Gerald Rose, for venturing down to Brunswick. The protest and motorcade that all followed down there from Atlanta to Brunswick in support of Mr. Arbery. That was awesome. Did get to see a little video footage on social media. So just want to shout out that, you know, Joe took upon himself, you know, and he was very tired, as you know, that morning and went out there and, you know,
mm-hmm.
did his duty, did his respects for Mr. Arbery. Shout out.
Exactly. Mr. Knowledge, if you can hear us, do we have any callers on the line that want to come in or make a statement before we move ahead?
All right. We go on to area code 419-944-419-944.
Hello. Hi. I'm
all right,
Sabrina
caller,
Barnett Jameson. Hello. I'm fine. How are you?
Hey, Sabrina. How you doing, my sister?
Hey, I'm good. I'm Sabrina. I'm calling from Toledo. I'm the National Research Director with New Order National Human Rights Organization, and I also know personally Mr. Johnson. So I'm definitely supporting what, you know, he has going on here locally as well. And unfortunately, I have another.
I definitely know who you are, Sabrina. Yes.
Yes. Hello there.
Hey.
So, yeah, there's a lot of things going on in regard to, you know, people of color in this country right now, and we're sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, it's been going on for too long, and, you know, I mean, the list goes on. Like, when is it going to stop? And we can't look to other people to make it stop, because that is never going to happen.
Let me ask you a question real quick, Sabrina. It's definitely an issue, and like you said, you know, we're sick and tired of being sick and tired, but, you know, you, just like myself and countless others, of African American and black and brown, we know that the media spins these types of stories, especially when one gets a lot of attention. So then they go out and they find other stories like this. But let me ask you, just based on what we're dealing with in the nation right now, what we're dealing with all over, do you think there's actually, you know, with hateful individuals, I'll say it like that, do you actually think there is a manhunt against a black man, woman, at this point in time in our nation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly what it feels like. And like you, I'm a pacifist. However, you know, more and more events are being recorded. Like, it's always been happening. It's just more and more of these events have been recorded. And you live in Ohio. Ohio is an open carry state. I don't like guns, but it's to the point I have my CCW class next month because this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
I don't feel safe as a black woman in this country.
You're right. It's time for me to consider: should I get strapped up? Exactly.
I mean, it's a household effort in my house. Every adult, we're all you know, bearing arms. Everybody else bear arms too, legally.
Yes, ma'am. Definitely. Did you have some questions for our sister Sabrina?
No, I just want to say hello. We thank you for your comment because, you know, the way that you feel, I'm sure a lot of other people out there feel the exact same way. And, you know, and I definitely want to, you know, thank you for calling in so that people can actually hear your comment about the situation that's going on. You know, I also wanted to let people know that, you know, for the people that are that knew about Dr. Sabi and all of the great things he did with medicine,
yes.
Mr. Nick Cannon has actually dropped a trailer for his highly anticipated documentary, Strong Enemies, The Untold Case of Dr. Sabi. So I want you guys to go out and support that. I love the stuff that Nick is doing for the community, and he definitely has our back on anything that is that needs to be done as far as with our people. So, you know, shout out to Nick Cannon for actually finishing what Nipsey Hussle started. So.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a mother of black males, you know, I'm terrified every time my sons leave the home, every time they go outside. My sons live in different cities, different states. I'm in constant prayer, you know, pleading the blood of Jesus protection over my children because it's just that serious.
Amen.
In 2020.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Shout out in honor of Nipsey Hussle's legacy and kudos to Nick Cannon. That's a very strong brother and
yes,
a very entrepreneurial brother. You know, I like Nick Cannon's moves. He's moving in the right way, and he walks like a black man that not his chest is out, but his back is erect and his head is up.
Yeah.
If you know
that's
what
right.
I'm saying, and he doesn't take
that's
he
right.
doesn't take mess. Doesn't take mess. So I appreciate that, and I so totally understand, Sabrina. I mean, you know, all black men and all black women out here, you know, they're faced with so many challenges, and then you know to get thrust into this pandemic nationwide, and then you know, like I said, we brought some challenges to the situation with our, you know, our diets and, you know, conversations about that need to be discussed and our high blood pressure and all that. But, you know, why do we also have to deal with hateful individuals times 10 now, you know? So like you said when you first came on, Sabrina, enough is enough. And, you know, we as a people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. So
absolutely.
Whatever committees we need to get, you know, together on our next move, it ain't got to be made publicly. You know what I'm saying? You know,
that's right.
A lot of times people want to talk out loud about what they're going to do. I think this time, you know,
exactly.
We need to go underground and, you know, speak
mm-hmm.
about what we need to speak on, but speak on it, you know. And
I agree.
And let's make some choices in the right direction. It's time. It's definitely
coming. Exactly.
Yes, it is.
And that's why. And while we're talking about this subject, let's get on what happened to Miss Breonna Taylor, the 26-year-old from Louisville, Kentucky, the EMT worker who was fatally shot by officers during what they describe as a botched execution of a warrant. Now, Ms. Taylor's family has filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the Louisville Metro Police Department and is being represented by the same attorney who has represented the families of Trayvon Mark, Michael Brown, Tamir Rice, and currently Ahmaud Arbery. Both families and attorneys are now seeking more Black Lives Matter energy in the interest of justice for Breonna. And, you know, with that EMT worker, you know, she, you know, saying they both were shot. That man, her boyfriend, her husband, was protecting them because, you know, when somebody, you hear somebody breaking into your house and then they're coming in, they're not they're saying that they're the police. You just hear, see people busting in through the door. You have no choice but to try to defend yourself. But, you know,
exactly.
They tried to make it a case of where they said that the man was actually trying to murder the police, but he's just protecting himself and his family, you know. So now that they dropped the charges from him, but the fact is they still haven't pressed charges on the officers on that botched raid and where Miss Breonna Taylor lost her life unnecessarily, you know. They need to get that stuff together. I hear stuff about these botched raids all the time, and it doesn't make sense for them to go into a place and not have the right address, you know, or to go into a place where, especially if there are kids involved, the kids that may be playing in there or asleep, and they just start firing and start shooting. That's crazy.
Yeah, no knock warrants. They need to be, you know, do away with. Absolutely.
That's right. You're no longer safe in your own household. And you're right, Sabrina. Where's the warrant? Where's the proper police procedural, you know, a botched raid? Okay, well, you know, shouldn't something occur if a servant of the community, those that are swore to protect the peace, if they make a boo-boo, if they make an error of ways, if they make an error in judgment where someone's life is lost, okay, that means that these same people should be held accountable. Am I right?
Absolutely. That's
exactly
where that police impunity comes in. That's where, you know, the criminal justice reform all across the board.
So sad that Ms. Breonna Taylor has lost her life. And you said the boyfriend as well lost his life, Greg?
From my understanding that he was not killed, but they had actually locked him up for attempted murder on a policeman, but
yes,
he was really just defending himself.
Right, again, criminalizing the victim, you know, like
exactly.
That's a media trick, and that's a trick that the judicial system does too to protect their own behind. You know, oh well, you know, let's make it seem as though, you know, come on now, you coming into my house, guess what? I guess they're going to put one in my behind and take me to prison as well because I'm going to protect mine. Like I said, I'm a pacifist, but you come in my house, I might reconsider, you know, that ideology.
Yeah.
Yes.
People of color, like we're the only race that gets blamed for our own murders.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
Facts, exactly.
Yeah, then we also have another case coming out of Floyd County, Georgia, which just happened recently. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation is now investigating the two suspicious deaths of these two women in Rome, Georgia. These women were actually stepsisters. The women were found underneath the Etowah Bridge on Wednesday by workers near Grizzard Park. Floyd County Chief Deputy Coroner Connie Chandler confirmed the identities of 18-year-old Benita Vera Richardson and 30-year-old Clarice Trevenia Bean Campbell. Those two were sisters and were found with bags over their heads and dumped over the bridge. They were thrown over the bridge. So, I mean, you know, like you said, I think there's just an open hunt on people
mm-hmm.
of color right now. And you, mm-hmm. you definitely have to look out for these, especially these women. You know, women are more vulnerable, and they see women walking by themselves, and they think that it's an open call for them to grab them and do whatever they want to them. But we as men and as kings have to protect our queens. So if you see something that's going wrong, make sure that you get involved because that woman might just be about to lose her life and you turning your head or turning your back and not saying nothing or not doing nothing can be the difference between them being here tomorrow and, you know, and going today. So definitely, if you see something, say something.
That's right.
That's another issue that's going on. You know, we also have, you know, people have becoming started coming up missing again. You know, we had a young lady just was that today in Barrow County, Georgia, a young 16-year-old, Courtney Frazier, was last seen at 2432 Sunflower Drive in Houston, Georgia, you know, last seen on Monday night, you know, and she weighs about, what, 120 pounds, 5 foot, 4 inches. She come up missing, and I noticed that there, across my timeline, there's been like four or five other people that come up missing in the last 24 hours. Which it doesn't seem to be a coincidence to me. It seems like there's something going on. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't get the memo, but it's definitely something going on.
Yeah, in our community, though, this onslaught of missing women and missing children, I mean, it's not getting better. It's getting worse. And you know how you can be numbed to a certain situation because it's so prevalent and it happens so
yeah.
much. And, you know, it's just like, you know, how they say, you know, you watch enough violence on television or kids play enough video games where they're blowing people's heads off that it, you know, it means something less to them. Well, I think that we need to all, as a human rights organization, as people of color, as just a community across this nation, start to put even brighter spotlights on missing children and missing women and people that get taken in to be sex trafficking, different types of situations. We need to be, like Greg said, and I don't want to get, you know, a strong case of machismo right now. You know, it's all our responsibility, not just black males, but, you know, me as a black male, I have to speak for myself. You know, like Greg said, that could be your sister, that could be your daughter, that could be your mother, could be your wife. You know, we have to protect ours, y'all. You know, it's not what you call me, it's what I answer by it, the old African proverb. So they see us not caring. They see us, you know, kind of, you know, giving a blind eye to these cases or all these missing individuals. They're going to think we don't care. And,
yeah, and they're
going to
keep
and
doing
it's
it.
Going to continue, and it's going to continue to happen. So, yes, along with this serious situation that's going on with the senseless murdering of and the senseless attacks and the hate crimes against our people, so should be added in, you know, a strong pursuit of locking down, hunting down any individual that wants to take a cost and kidnap or put into any type of situation. We should put a strong in our community. You know, let's get back to that, y'all. You know, it takes a village.
I totally agree.
It takes the elders. You know, a lot of people want to talk about this young generation. This generation is going through this. This generation is going through that. I always say, well, if that generation that you speak of is going through it, what was the generation before doing? Weren't we supposed to teach, enrich, and give wisdom to this young generation? We hold a responsibility, is what I'm saying. So all the elders, you know, all the people in the community, you know, that hold a certain type of respect from their neighbors and families. Come on, y'all. We got to keep an eye out for our children. We got to keep an eye out for the elderly. We got to keep an eye out for those people that can't help themselves. You know, because there are some devious and shady, low-down people in this world. And the way we don't watch, they do watch. So just know that.
Right.
If you're not watching, they are.
They are, exactly. And I also want to give a respect out to for people to actually support Ms. Pamela Smith, you know, a young lady that New Orders defending in her case where she was abused by correctional officers in prison. I know that they actually had in the paper this week, you know, that inmates at New Jersey's only state women's prisons were regularly sexually assaulted by guards and sometimes forced to engage in sex acts with other prisoners while the staff members just watched. And according to, mm-hmm. you know, the Justice Department report released on Monday, detailed widespread pervasive sexual abuse at the facility reported by the New York Times. So not only is the case with Ms. Pamela Smith, you know, coming to the forefront, other women are speaking out about what's happened to them while they were incarcerated. A lot of times while they're there, they don't care to speak about it because of retaliation by the guards. Because if they're already dealing with something, you know, it's going to get worse if they report it. So they wait to actually talk about it once they get out.
And unfortunately, it's a lot more common people really know, you know, what goes on in prisons and institutions.
Definitely. It's a culture, and it's the environment. It's the no snitch policies. It's the good old boy attitudes within the correctional system is just mm-hmm. like the boys in blue. You know they do what they do and they do it, and people involved, they don't bring it up because they feel retaliation, and it's commonplace is what I'm saying. Like the sisters, what they're going through is horrible up in New Jersey, but you best believe that throughout this nation and in all the institutions, you have similar stories that are going on. People just need to put the light on it. We need whistleblowers. I can't ask anyone to put themselves in the line of fire. You know, that has to be a personal choice. But you know, you gotta one day think, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's time to be brave. It's time to be something bigger than yourself. It's time to do the right thing, you know. So you know, I can say is please, you need that, you know, within the institutions, within the police departments across America, we need that to point the finger at these cats and say, no, nah, man, you're wrong. You know what you're doing is wrong, and you need to be put out there. Now the inmates and those institutionalized, we understand your situation. You know what I'm saying? You're there. You can't go anywhere. You know what I'm saying? And if you know, say this and that to another person, you know how the system goes in there. So
yes.
We, as a Christian organization, we definitely have all those individuals incarcerated in our prayers, especially the women in New Jersey that had to endure and suffer through that. But, you know, more so than praying, and praying is a lot. But, you know, to add on to that praying, you know, we have to get our minds together and figure out things that we can do here on the free side, on freedom side, here in our communities, what we can do in order to reach out to those brothers and sisters incarcerated. Just like the coronavirus is affecting them more so than, you know, all these institutions. We just had Brother Joe Johnson on the program. You know, you're in an enclosed area where
mm-hmm.
Disease travels, you know, horrendously, you know, and doesn't have an escape route. It's just in there. So, of course, you know, you're going to get many people affected even more so than the statistical numbers you have going on across the United States. You put me in a cage
yeah.
with somebody with a cold, I'm going to get a cold.
Yeah. Yeah, can't social distance
so,
in
yeah,
a cage.
You know. Yes, ma'am.
Exactly. Yeah.
So our prayers are definitely with those sisters up there and nationwide.
Okay. And then we want to get into what happened on May 13th in Oklahoma City, where Mr. Travis Miller was delivering home appliances, furniture delivery, where he encountered some people in that neighborhood that, you know, that stopped him and told him that he wasn't going anywhere. I'm going to go ahead and read this article right quick. A viral video shows a delivery guy driver being held against his will in Oklahoma City area neighborhood Monday, blocked in by a man who identified himself as the Homeowners Association president, Mr. Travis Miller, a home appliance and furniture delivery driver, captured the encounter on Facebook Live while driving through the neighborhood of Ashford Hills. "I want to know where you are going," says the resident whose car is blocking Mr. Miller's way. And he said, "It's none of your business, you know, where I'm going," you know, and but they blocked him in, and he sat there for over an hour until the person that he was delivering to stood up for him and said, "Yeah, he was delivering for me." But what gives them the right to block you in a neighborhood if you're delivering, if you have a uniform on and you're delivering something? Nobody has the right to stop you and harass you. That seemed like that was almost another Arbery case. If that guy mm-hmm. had a lost, you know, his temper, you know, or got out of his truck, that would have tried to give them a reason to try to shoot that man. So, I mean, there's no reason
exactly.
for them to be stopping that man. And this actually, and another incident happened, I think, was that either yesterday or today, where there was a FedEx driver that was delivered to a home, and he walked across the grass to put the package on the porch, and the guy came out, you know, threatening him that he gonna beat him up and all kinds of stuff like that, you know, and calling the police saying that, you know, he had somebody hostile on his property when he was actually the aggressor. So, I mean, that video was posted. So, I mean, it seemed like they're actually, like, they're targeting people of color
mm-hmm.
for anything now, you know. And you can clearly see that these people are working. They're on their jobs, you know.
Greg, did you see the Travis Miller, the gentleman in Oklahoma? Did you actually see the video?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my goodness. I applaud this brother for his restraint. Because I'm going
yeah.
to keep it 100.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep it 100, JT. My passive ideology is from many years of being a hothead fool. You know, I've cooled down, is what I'm saying, in my old age. Man, I wish. That's all I have to say. I wish. You know, I applaud Mr. Travis Miller, because, you know, I watched that brother, and that brother really, really was holding it in. You know, he was being 100% professional. You know, he wasn't supposed to divulge a personal client's a customer's information to anyone. It wasn't their business to know any of that. It wasn't
exactly
his, man. And you know what? I have dealt with homeowner, for lack of a better word, assholes. Excuse my language, like that before. I have dealt with those homeowner guys like that. They think they are the police. They really do.
Yes,
and
they do.
That's ridiculous.
That car would have got driven over and something would have happened. But, you know, that's just me, you know. But, no, I applaud, in all seriousness, I applaud Mr. Miller. And if you watch the video, at some point that man broke down and cried. I mean, that's
yeah,
he did.
He
had to come with that anger. He had to do
it's
something.
It's frustrating.
And, you know, yes.
Yes,
Ooh.
And it hurts. It hurts.
But,
it's like you are a target just because you have black or brown skin. That hurts.
I'm a grown man doing my job. Let me do my job. You know I didn't come into this gated community unseen or without any, you know, reason. Yo, who gives a code to a thief? And if the thief is that cold with it, you ain't going to stop him anyway.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
That's my two cents, man. But, yeah, it's unfortunate that we're dealing with this and we're seeing this across this nation. But at the same time, as sad as it is to see, it's a blessing to see it. You know what I'm saying? Social media is a curse and a blessing in the same, you know, in the same breath. Because, you know, nobody wants to see anybody murdered. Nobody wants to see anybody choke and lose their life. Nobody wants to see a man you know, have to make a decision about his job and his lifestyle when some hateful person it wants to, you know, make a problem for him. But the fact that we see this, like Katrina said, you know, we're sick and tired of seeing this stuff. And end is coming very, very soon. Very soon.
Yes, we are.
Exactly. Yeah. And Naj, do we have any other callers that want to comment or make a suggestion or get something off of their chest today? Or
we got area code 567-686. 567-686.
Hello, Knowledge and
okay, go.
Sabrina and Joe. This is Sherry Johnson, the National Spiritual Advisor of New Order. Hello, how you all
doing?
Hi,
Sherry. Hello.
Hey, I'm enjoying what y'all said, and you know, there's so much going on. I too attended the Aubrey protest in Brunswick, Georgia this weekend, and it was very liberating, very informational. Because there were a lot of organizations that were there. I sat on the ground. I did my social distance. I had my mask and everything on. But I sat right in front of the steps, and I, too, got on my Facebook page a lot of the footage of people talking and, you know, different speakers coming up. Pastor Eddie Jones Jr. spoke to quite a few others. He was also out there, you know, marching and stuff with us. But what I gathered from it, you know, the tears and the hurt that I felt in the crowd for this family, the Arby family fighting. They had different protests that they had. I'm trying to think about the try to get all my thoughts together because there's so much petitions that had to be signed and laws that had to be passed in order for us to fight and come together and not fight against each other. It's like everybody is starting to group up as a unit now because we are now a target, just like you all are saying. And I have 8 grandsons, 3 sons, and I'm like, this could be my son. This could be, you know, it's just the target on all of us. I also watched the guy in the truck that for the homeowner association cop, so-called flashlight cop, and he was very restrained. He had a lot of respect for his job. He talked to his boss, and he kept his cool. He tried to, but I know he wanted to go off. And we are all frustrated now. I felt the frustration in the crowd and the tears from the auntie. They had two events they had. The mother and father went to one, and then the grandmother, I think, and the auntie and the brother and nephews were at this protest in Brunswick. And when I tell you everybody came together instead of trying to fight one another, they're seeing a whole nother side now. To the fact where now they're bearing arms. There were people there, you know, somebody has spoke about the gun control, how, you know, it's time now. You didn't think that you would have to get a gun. Sabrina, I had been thinking about that too. I had been contemplating about going to a gun class. And they hold them down here all the time. A carry concealed weapon, you know, that you can take. Because I don't want to feel that when my go somewhere or my kids go somewhere, I mean, we not protected. You know, we just not protected. I'm scared my grandson. My grandson stands 5'9". I'm 5'9", and he's only 13. I got another one stands about, he's almost 6 feet, and he's going on 14. And I'm thinking this could be my grandchildren. You know what I'm saying? And it's so close to home now that we have to vote these people out. Because, see, they want to vote to get some laws passed. Because, like you said, we're being targeted, not just the males, the females, too. Now, the women are getting shot.
That's right.
Not just so much
That's
being
right.
the human trafficking. So now me and my girls are going to go to a gun class. some that I thought I would never do. It has changed my train of thinking. Just whole train of thought, you know. I never would think, you know, as an evangelist, that I got to go get me a gun to protect me and my family. I never would think that. But you know what? I also thought that David was in the David was definitely in the army, and he was killing. He had to kill. There were people in wars in the Bible. They had kill
That's
everything.
Right.
Women, children, the goat, the dog, the cat, whatever God said, kill them all off. So now it's coming to the fact now we just can't just pray about it. See, they were, you know, they prayed. They prayed till tears came to my eyes because I could feel the pain and this, and everybody, you know, scared and saying, this could be us. Who next? Who next? And when are we going
right.
to come together as a unit and don't fight each other? It wasn't nobody arguing. They kept a social distance because I was trying to figure out how they were going to do the social distance part. So what they did was when I marched on the side, I was Gerald was on the other side, you know, behind me around, but he was still videoing too. So I had my iPad Pro. I was videoing as well and taking pictures and staying on the outside, on the edge. And then they would stop, and then they would have us line up. And I was in the front part where the family was because by me sitting on the steps, I said, look, I'm just going to sit by the steps on the ground Indian style and be like the reporters so I can get it all because this was my first protest. But I felt it in my spirit that I need to see for myself what this is about because I told my children I have joined this organization for a purpose. Not only do I have to pray for the people, I need to know what the needs of the people are. And when you discern those spirits together, you can feel the hurt and the pain and the despair and the anger on how we have to protect ourselves now as a race. Because if they keep killing us out one by one, we will become extinct. It's to the fact they said, okay, we can pray. Not to take too much of your time, but we're going to have to fight now. We could be peaceful.
There's Mark a place,
Garvey,
there's a place for both.
All of that. But we're going to have to do both. And we got to vote out of office because things got to change because now, not just the coronavirus, they made sure they trying to take us out on as sneaky as they can. But now they're so bold because how this president we have has just boldly just, he's encouraging that, and he has not said nothing about the people that have died. No type of remorse or a moment of silence. He said since Billy Graham on any kind of hurt on the nation. So as a people, what I'm saying is what we're seeing because there's so much violence going on now. We pray, but go get your gun license. I'm going to, Sabrina. I feel you.
We're the only race that doesn't bear arms.
Amen.
We are. Everybody else bear arms.
I'm going
people
to have
hunt
to.
With their children. Other races, they do. They've been doing it forever. And then you have
they
us.
Hunt down
and it's
here.
Like, okay, how come?
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
see, down here, they let the kids go out of school. The kids here, where I live at, in Mount Illinois,
I just wanted to let you know the new order, National Human Rights, we're so grateful and appreciate you so much. Glad you joined the team. And I was just wondering, like at the end of this, show, if you could hang on the line and just kind of pray us out at the end, I certainly would appreciate it, as all of us would.
Oh, that's fine.
Well,
I sure will
heart.
Do
bless
that. I sure
thank
will
you
do
so
that.
So much. Greg O, where we
yes,
at?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm still here. I'm still here, and I definitely want to, say rest in peace to Mr. Earl G. Graves, who was the founder of Black Enterprise Magazine. He died at the age of 85. So I just wanted to, say rest in peace to this guy. And, I'm definitely one, talking about,
I have my gun license. I do have my guns, and if I have it, you'd never know it because I'm not one to actually flaunt my gun like
right.
a lot of other people do. They
right.
a lot of times they have those gun holsters out, and they're trying to intimidate people. They're walking in with those big guns and just waiting for somebody to say something to them. But I'm not going to say nothing to you because mine is for self defense. It's not for intimidation.
Right.
So
exactly.
So you know, but I
right.
but and I definitely don't want to get caught out there. And have to protect myself and don't have the means to do that. So,
you
like you
That's
said,
right.
I do encourage other people to go ahead. You know, if you don't have your gun licenses, go and get those and take, you know, and also take up practice. Go to a target range.
That's right. Go to the range.
I learned how to shoot
That's
that
right.
gun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that you won't be caught off guard. And at the least, women, please have, you know, a taser or something or a whistle or something so if somebody grabs you or does something to you, you'll be able to
yeah.
fend them off. You know, a lot of women carry knives. Some carry tasers. Just have something that
mm-hmm.
you can defend
yeah.
yourself from an attacker. So,
mm-hmm. yeah, it's like we're getting attacks from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The attacks are just coming at us from all aspects of life. If it's not the pandemic, if it's not the races, if it isn't the thugs in our own community, it's like, oh my goodness,
it's too much. I mean, it's too much.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, and they need to pull their pants up, but that's a whole other conversation.
I don't know, right? We'll say that for next week. For next
pull
conversation.
Pull their pants up and help us.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Amen. It's a lot, y'all. It's a lot on the table, and it's just hard to just digest it all. And I'm so overwhelmed with it. I'm like, wow. You think that's one thing we can try to get under control with testing? The next thing you turn around, you got to protect yourself
mm-hmm.
in your own home.
Mm-hmm.
In your own home.
Exactly. Exactly. I want to see if there's anybody else that wanted to make a comment before we close the show out.
Okay.
Well,
that was
I can say for myself, what a wonderful show we've had tonight. I've enjoyed the topics. I've enjoyed our call-in sisters. Brother Knowledge always says, you know, the power team. You know, I love y'all and appreciate y'all. And hopefully we can keep doing this. Once again, I always want to thank Brother Knowledge for allowing us to participate. You know, we are all family. So, you know, this media is needed within our community. You know, we need to have a format where we can speak and talk freely about what involves us. So always appreciative of Brother Knowledge. And just like I say, once again, thank y'all for a great show. So very much.
You're welcome.
All
it
right,
was a good show.
Have a wonderful night.
All right, yes. I sure enjoyed it.
All right,
Freddie?
Greg?
Go ahead.
Greg. Could
yeah,
you
go ahead.
Pray us out, my brother?
Yeah, I would love for it too.
I'm still here.
Okay.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. You ready? Let me know. Y'all got all your minds are clear?
Okay.
All minds are clear? Our Father,
all minds
which
are
art
clear.
In heaven, hallowed be thy name. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the show, Lord Jesus. Touch and bless Joe, Greg, Sabrina, all the listeners, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we just ask you to help us in this situation, God. Every topic that we talked about, Lord, give us insight. Help us to make the right decision, oh God. Don't let us do things in haste, but give us clear vision, clear thought, open minds, God. Show us the directions on what we need to do in a time like this, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for all the things you've done, all the things you're going to do. We thank you for your mercy and grace and how you shed it upon us, God, as a people. Let us unify, Lord God, more than ever, Lord, because we need you right now. We don't
Amen.
Know what to do, but we know you are yet in control. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. We praise your name that we lift you up because we know you got it for us, God. We just got to leave it in your hands to show us what to do, God. Lord God, touch the Bereaved family, the Aubrey family. Lord God, all the families that's fighting for their children, God, in a time like this, Lord, we need a Savior to come through, Lord, and just bless us as we go to and fro. Bless the women, God. Bless each and every woman that's got to get a gun, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Help us to shoot it right, God, at the right time when we need it. Because I don't know what to do, but I know I can call on you for everything, Lord. I thank you for all that's in New Order. And every organization, God, that's coming together as a unit, Lord, help us come with force for the violent. Take it by force. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for tonight. Lord God, watch over us and keep your angels around us. Cover us with your blood. Lord God, keep us safe from hurt, harm, and danger. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. And we just want to give you praise and thank you for another day that we have not seen, but you let us see it and let us see through it. God, I thank you. For all things, in Jesus' name, as we come together once more, keep us safe, Lord, from COVID-19, God. Keep our immune system strong, and thank you for being a way maker. Thank you for being a God of all gods. We thank you in Jesus' name for all things. Amen and amen.
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 All right, y'all take
amen.
Care.
Amen.
Y'all take
amen.
Care. I enjoyed you all.
Thank you.
Thank
all
you.
Right, you
safe,
too.
Everybody.
Everybody have a great night.
All right, you
all
too.
Right,
be
all
safe.
Right. All right,
sir.
Okay.
All right, Debbie Knowledge. All right, Greg. All right.
All right.
See y'all later.
You guys be safe.